Well, I bring you greetings from Lunsford Baptist Church in Lunsford, Arkansas. And they said to greet the brothers and sisters there in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That they are praying with you, that their hearts are with you. And they're praying for Brother Jerry in this time. And they pray for him by name every day. And they mention him in their services. And today we're going to be looking at God's plan. And we're going to be looking at how the Bible shows us that forgiveness and healing has been God's plan from the beginning. You see, today we have a lot of people that are talking about contingency plans. You know, what are we going to do if this happens? How are we going to face it if this happens? How are we going to face coronavirus? How are we going to face a day without groceries? How are we going to face a day without necessities? And you have everybody doing everything that they know how to make up a contingency plan for. But people, there are times in history where there was no contingency plan. There were times when people stepped out in faith and went forward because they knew what they had to do and they knew that the Lord was with them. And I'll put it to you today that with God, there is no contingency plan. With God, there was just a plan all the time for all of mankind. And this plan was forgiveness. And this plan was love. And this plan was mercy. And we're going to look at that in the scripture today as we study. We're going to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you have your copy of God's word, please turn there with me. If you'll excuse me, I have a bit of sinus trouble today, not coronavirus. I left Arkansas, and it was 44 degrees when we left Arkansas on Wednesday morning. When we arrived in Texas, it was 90. And I said, praise the Lord, but all my sinuses said something else. And so I'm a little sniffly and a little coughy, but don't let that worry you. And so what we're looking at here is a time when Solomon is dedicating, he's consecrating the temple. They have finished the construction of the great temple of Solomon, the temple of the Lord, where the Lord's presence is going to remain with his people, and his people are going to see his glory. And I would put it to you today that in times like this, we need a glimpse of the Lord's glory. We need to be reminded of who our God is and what our God does. Because like Jake said, sometimes we can let anxiety get the best of us. You know, I understand that. I have a lot of anxiety. I'm a high anxiety person. When I was in Arkansas, I also went to the doctor to have him check up on me. I said, there's something going on, doctor. I was like, I don't know what it is, but since I came back from Africa, I hadn't had as much, you know, energy as I usually do, and I'm slowing down, and something's going on, and I don't know what it is. And he said, Neil, I want to tell you something. You're stressed out. And I was like, well, thank you. I think I knew that. I'm a high-stress person. I'm high anxiety. But through that, the Lord has been teaching me things and showing me things. And he'll continue to do that with us as well. You know, I think this is a time in America where people are so willing to listen about God's grace, about God's mercy, and God's sovereignty, that, I mean, we could just go outside and yell, hey, anybody want to talk about God today? Anyone want to talk about salvation today? And I think we can have four or five people come running. Maybe more as the situation grows. We'll see. But I think forgiveness and healing our nation. You know, we have a sickness in our nation, and I'm not talking about COVID. We have a sickness in our nation called sin, and I deal with that every day. In my flesh, I deal with that, and I know it, and I hate it. And Paul says, why do I do the things I don't want to do? Well, we all have that condition. We're all sick with it. But we have a doctor. We have the great physician, Jesus. And Jesus is the one who forgives us of that. He forgives us of that sin. He died for us, and he forgives us. And so that was God's plan all along. There is no contingency plan. Looking at verse 1, let's read together. We're going to do verse 1 through 3, then jump down to 11 through 16 and 17. Starting with verse 1, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord filling the Lord's house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly he is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting. And then verse 11, it says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to worship you, Lord, and we worship in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray that you would give us a bit of that Shekinah glory today, Lord. That the glory of this, that your glory would fill this place. That, Lord, we would leave here changed today because of your word and because of what your word teaches us, Lord. That we would go out without fear, without anxiety, Lord, because we're faithful to you, because you're always faithful to us. Even when we are found faithless, you are faithful. Lord, I praise you for this. I praise you for your goodness. I praise you for the people here today, Lord. I love them, and you love them. And I pray all this in your Son's wonderful name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see Solomon here. He's prayed this prayer of dedication. It's the finishing of the temple. And so Solomon goes out and he goes before all the people, and they've had the burnt sacrifices. They've made up the offerings, and Solomon prays a prayer of dedication. And the prayer of dedication covers many different things. He says, Lord, if we're faithless, let people come back to this place and pray, and let there be healing. He said, Lord, if there are enemies, let us come to you and pray and you deliver us. And he said, Lord, if there's a pestilence, let us come to you and we pray and you heal us. And Lord, if we have sinned against you, if we've been found false, Lord, let us come to this place and pray and you deliver us. And so Solomon prays this intensively long prayer of dedication for the temple. And in it, he asked the Lord for all of these things. He asked him for protection. He asked him for healing. He asked him for forgiveness. He asked him for fellowship, that he fellowship with the Lord, that the people of Israel know who their God is. And in a time like that, and in a time like this, we need to remember who our God is and what our God can do and what he has power over. And so we see that as Solomon finished praying, the Lord answered from heaven. And the Lord answered as he will. He answered in power. He answered in holiness. And he answered in his might. And he sent fire down from above to devour the sacrifices and to show the people that he is holy. Not only is the Lord answering Solomon's prayer, the Lord is consecrating the temple. Folks, we need to consecrate our hearts before the Lord. That's why we come here on Sunday to worship. We come here to consecrate our hearts. Say, Lord, cleanse us of all we have and all we've done in this sinful person, in this man that I wrestle against every day, every hour. I need forgiveness. And Lord, I need to see some of that Shekinah glory. I need to experience that in my own life. And I can only do that through Jesus, my Savior. And we only do that when we ask for forgiveness and we accept the Lord's mercy, because his mercy and his glory endures forever. God's glory is eternal. And that Shekinah glory so filled the temple. The glory of the Lord so filled the temple that the priests could not enter it. Man, wouldn't that be amazing? If the glory of the Lord filled this place so much that your staff couldn't even enter it. Jake couldn't even get up here to lead worship. Because the glory of the Lord was so heavy, the presence of the Lord in this place. The Lord is here today, his presence within us and in this place as we gather together where two or more are meeting in my name, there I am. So the Lord is here today with us as well. But the glory of the Lord was so powerful that the people couldn't endure it at that time. Why don't we pray that the glory of the Lord cover our nation at this time? That as believers we come together so that the glory of the Lord shines forth, and so our message of hope and our message of forgiveness and our message of healing, not just from coronavirus, not just from this flu, but our message of healing from sin spreads throughout this nation. Because that's what we need at this time. We need healing from sin. People out there need healing from sin. And so the fire came down. Think about other times when the fire came down from heaven. When Elijah and the priest of Baal, he's praying to the Lord, and the priests of Baal are all out there and they're praying to their gods. They're praying to Baal and they're cutting themselves with knives and screaming and hollering, and Elijah is standing beside him and he's saying, go ahead and cut yourself a little louder. You know, call out a little louder. Maybe your God's in the bathroom and he didn't hear you. He does say that. Look there. And Elijah prays a prayer that the Lord would show the people who the one true God is on that day, and fire fell from heaven. Fire came down and licked up that sacrifice and devoured it, and that water that had been poured over the sacrifice, it devoured it, and the glory of God shone through that place. What other times has fire come down from heaven? We see in Acts, when believers are praying, they're praying that God show his glory in that time. They're praying for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes down and tongues of flame alight on their heads. Are we walking around today like we're believers that have tongues of flame, like we worship a God who is sovereign, a God that can send fire from heaven? Or are we just kind of keeping our head down and saying, let's kind of get through this. Let's do the best we can in this situation. See, God has a plan. And it's been that plan. It's been his plan all along. And his mercy and his glory endures forever. And when the sons of Israel saw the glory of the Lord, when they saw the fire come down, they fell on their faces and they worshiped. I want to ask God, when I pray, that I see the glory of the Lord, so I will fall on my face and worship. So that I will worship with the intent of never being the same again. That I know the God I serve. I know who holds the seasons. I know who has dictated the tides. I know who has my heart in his hands. It is the same God who sends fire from heaven. It is the same God who sent us the Holy Spirit. It is the same God who the sons of Israel, when worshiping God, said, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. God is eternal. His loving kindness is also eternal. Sometimes it's hard for us to think of that, you know, in that context. You know, and I always go back to Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This has been the eternal plan from the beginning, that God would show us his forgiveness. Sometimes we just forget God's sovereignty in the midst of all that. And so these verses are telling us that. It's reminding us that God is sovereign. It's reminding us, like in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord appeared to him. He says, woe is me, I am undone, for I have seen the Lord of hosts. He knew he was sinful. At that moment, he knew that he could not stand in the presence of God. And God forgave his sin so he could deliver his message to Isaiah at that point. This is the God that we serve, the God who is holy, the God who is righteous, the God whose mercy endures forever. In verse 11 it says, then Solomon finished the house of the Lord, the king's place, the king's palace. He successfully completed all he had planned to do. And the Lord appeared to Solomon at night. The Lord came to Solomon and spoke with him. And he said, I heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. See, Solomon had asked all of these things of the Lord. Solomon had requested. Solomon had stepped out in faith and said, Lord, what happens if the people are unfaithful? Lord, will you still be faithful? Lord, please be faithful for them. Lord, and I pray that people will come here in this house and they will remember your name. You know, this past week, I had a lot of anxiety. I'm not gonna lie with you. And I'm sorry if I keep coming back to that thing about anxiety. But, you know, there were some uncertainties there. You know, I have older parents. They live in Arkansas. You know, if there's a travel ban, I can't get up there to see my folks, see how they're doing, unless country boy takes the back roads, you know. We'll see. But my mom and dad, and they called me and they talked to me and they said, son, trust in the Lord. That was their advice. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord remembers. The Lord knows. And we see this as the Lord reveals himself to Solomon. As Solomon had prayed these things, he had covenanted with God. He'd made a covenant with God at that time, like his father David had covenanted with God. In the same way, we as Christians, when we covenant with God, it's when we say, God, you're able and you're worthy and you can do this and I can't. I have no power over this, but you do. And so I covenant with you. I realize that you're worthy. I realize that you are the God of the heavens and the earth. And I have no power over this thing, but you do. You have power to forgive me of my sin. You have power to make a new life spring up inside of this old man. And I'm not that old, but he covenanted with him. He covenanted with him. And these verses show us that forgiveness is the heart of God's plan. Forgiveness is the heart of God's plan, and forgiveness is a promise that we can stand upon. And I'm not going to burst into the song of standing on the promises of God, but that's something that we can sing and know that we can stand on his promises because he is faithful, because the scripture tells us he is faithful. God will hear his people. And he replies in verse 14, and he says, my people who are called by my name. The Lord called them out. The Lord gave them a name. He gave Israel his name. He gave a people, their name. And as I think about this and as I read it, all I was thinking was, my Lord gave me a name also. And the world knows me by this name because of who I choose to serve, who I have made my Lord and Savior. They call me Christian because Christ is my Lord and Savior, because I have accepted Christ, because I have put everything aside and said, you are the only one who can forgive me. You are the only one who can take this heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. You are the one who knows my days. You knew me when I was in the womb. You shaped and formed me. And so we are his people. We are called by his name. And here we have to do something that's not easy for a king to do, and it's also often difficult for Americans to do, and it's really difficult and hard sometimes, people say, for men to do, and women also. We have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. We have to proclaim that we don't know it all and that we don't have all the answers. But we know that God does. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Paul writes, humble yourself so you will be exalted. I used to have this little song we sang in Africa. And I'm reminded of it every time. It's like, it goes, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. And we would sing that, and it, you know, in Africa you don't have very many choruses, but it's like all the same thing all at the same time. And then you have different people singing, coming in, and I was never in any choirs or anything. But I remember that to this day. We humble ourselves. How do we humble ourselves these days? We recognize that God is sovereign. We recognize that we don't have the answers, but he does. We place our faith in him. Humble themselves and pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We seek his face. See, God is a God who wants to have a relationship with us. God is the one who wants us to seek his face. We're not seeking his feet. We're not seeking his hands. We're being his hands and being his feet. But we are seeking his face. We are longing to look upon the face of God and have communion with him, have fellowship with him, have a relationship where we walk daily, learning about God, hearing from God, and trusting in God. And so we humble ourselves and we pray. We seek his face. And we turn from our wicked ways. We turn from our evil. We turn from the man inside of us or the woman or, you know, that sinful nature that has ruled our lives and tries to rule us even while we are Christians. In our sanctification, in our life with Christ, as we walk with Christ, we struggle with the sinful man. At one point in our lives, before we knew Christ, he was our leader. He was our commander. We listened to the sinful man. We obeyed what he told us to do because it was the only life that we knew. But God has called us out from that. He has called us away from the sinful man who collects 20,000 rolls of toilet paper. Because the sinful man is looking after himself. The sinful man is a slave to his own desires. The sinful man does what's best for himself. I was reading an article this morning where a guy had hoarded 17,000 bottles of that hand sanitizer. And he says, and the guy writing the article said, "What was your purpose for hoarding all this hand sanitizer? You could never use this. It would take you like 36 years to get through all this." And he said, "Well, I was going to sell it on Amazon for $8 a bottle, but Amazon shut me down. And then eBay shut me down. And so now I have 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer." That's the old man. That's the sinful man looking out for number one, doing what he can to get ahead. Praise the Lord, I worship a God where I don't have to collect that much hand sanitizer. I mean, really, is that where we're going? And you see the effects of sin on our world, not just in the greediness, not just in the hoarding, but in the death and in the murder, in the desire to do bad things to people. You know, when I heard that about that guy hoarding that, you know what my first thought was? Let's get a rope and string this guy up. Let's find a tree somewhere. I watched Westerns all night last night, so that might have been part of it. But I was thinking, let's find a rope. Here we go. Was that Jesus? Would that have been Jesus' reply? Would that have been God's? No, I don't think so. So we know that there's this evilness, there's this wickedness, this sinful nature. And God's telling us to turn from it. Turn, to repent. You know, you do a 180-degree turn and you go in the opposite direction. And things that you were doing before no longer make sense to what you are doing now. And that's God. Things that you once did, I'm going to run out and buy 16,000 rolls of toilet paper for me and my family. You're no longer thinking about that. Because you know who holds the future. Praise the Lord. You know, all this thing about toilet paper just reminds me, y'all may be running out now, but in Africa they ran out a long time ago. Of course, in Africa they still have newspapers. But we see through these verses that what ensures a right relationship with God is faithfulness, fidelity. Faithfulness is not something that is highly favored in our country anymore. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness to people. Even myself, I struggle with that. Well, this person hadn't done me right. He hadn't spoken to me right. I'm out of here. That's it. I have nothing more to do with them. Praise the Lord, God shows us faithfulness, even when we are faithless. God is always faithful. We have a branch of the service, and they took that as their motto, always faithful, semper fidelis. And they'll run around and shout that. It's like their bow cry sometimes. Semper Fi. But that's something that we as Christians need to remember. That faithfulness ensures a right relationship. And God draws out this plan for us, and it's a plan that transcends time. You know, you're looking at this saying, Neil, this is Solomon in his time and what he's doing in the temple. And this is post-exilic or it's pre-exilic, and it has nothing to do with us in this time and in this place. It has to do with Solomon thousands of years ago. I don't know if any of you are noticing, but as I was reading scriptures, as I was reading verse 14, that is the gospel. The gospel spoke to me through that. What do we do when we accept Christ? We humble ourselves. We pray, we seek God's face, we repent, and we say our lives will never be the same again. I am not going to go back to that small place, that small man who is constantly anxious about everything around me, because God has given me a better path. God has cleared that path in front of me, and that was His plan all along. And people will say, well, Brother Neil, what about the law and what about Jesus? Wasn't Jesus the contingency plan for the law? That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Jesus was the plan all along. Jesus was the plan, not the contingency plan. Jesus, are you here to destroy the law? No, I'm here to fulfill the law. God shows us that mercy and forgiveness is His plan all along. And only the Lord, can heal the corruption of sin. Verses 15 and 16. Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. Verse 14. If we do these things, if we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek the Lord, if we repent, then the Lord answers. The Lord promises that He will answer. And this is a promise that you can stand on. It's not a promise like, oh, in 2 weeks we'll have more of that, so don't worry. This is a promise that we can stand on because it comes from the Word of God. That I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And that's crucial. A relationship, a right relationship with the Lord has to begin with our realizing we are sinners. That we can't do this on our own. It's hinged on that. This is the fulcrum. It's the important part of the machine. I had motor shop one semester, and we learned about fulcrums and how important they are. But this is the point here, that we have to realize that we're sinners. We have to pray for forgiveness from God. And as we pray for healing in our nation, as we pray for healing from sin, as we pray for healing from sickness and disease, we have to realize that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, that we need the Lord. Jesus is the complete sacrifice that will save us from the sin. Verse 15, God is telling us, my eyes will be open. My ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. See, he was talking to Solomon in a time when the glory of the Lord had filled the temple and would continue to fill the temple. We live in a time when the glory of the Lord fills our temple. If we are saved, if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And so the glory of the Lord lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so we can pray, and God's eyes are open. His ears are listening to the words of our prayers. For I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. God has chosen me. He's chosen you who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. He's consecrated you. When the Holy Spirit came to live in your heart, in your innermost being, the Lord consecrated your heart before Him. My name will be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. What are all these anthropomorphic things telling us? You know, all these human characteristics that God is giving Himself now. It tells us that God wants to have a relationship with us. It tells us that God is ready to hear us. It says God sees us. It says He cares about us. It says His heart is with us perpetually. His heart is with us eternally. For as long as God exists, His heart exists with us. God is with us. If God is with us, if God is for us, who can be against us? It tells us that healing and restoration was the plan all along. The healing of our hearts, the healing of our land that is sick with something besides COVID. Our land that is sick with the consequences of sin. And you see it every day. You don't have to go to the TV to see it. You don't have to go to cable or Netflix. You see it in yourself. You see it in people around you. You see the sickness of sin. So healing and restoration is in God's plan. It's in His heart. It's close to Him. What is the application that we can bring out of this? And I kept coming back to this again and again and again, thinking there's got to be something deeper here. There's got to be something more, God. But it's so simple. It's right in front of me. Humble yourselves. Pray. Seek God's face. Repent. That's always been the plan. From God, from the beginning, that we would have a relationship with Him, that we would be healed, that our nation can be healed as we pray. If Christians aren't going to pray today, if Christians are going to let anxiety and fear overcome them and overtake them in this time, then there's no hope. God's counting on us. We're His messengers. We're His servants. I mean, there's no hope for us. There's hope in God. We've got to be the ones to pray for this nation. People are praying at home. We're going to pray here. We know who our God is. We've seen His glory. His glory indwells this place. His glory indwells us. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for our leaders. We're going to pray for our country. We're going to pray for those who don't know Jesus, and we're going to speak to them because they live in a world with no hope. They live in a world where COVID's won, the doors are closing in, and it's just darkness. There's no hope for anyone. So our hope is in Jesus Christ. And that is the hope that we share with Him. A few minutes, we're going to pray. Let's remember who our God is. Remember what our God can do. If you're here today, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. God Himself has come and He's been speaking to you and telling you, you need that. You need to humble yourselves. You need to pray. You need to seek God's face. You need to repent. You need to have a relationship. Now's the time. Now's the time. Please don't hesitate. Please come forward. We'll be happy to speak to you about what God has to offer. We'll be happy to speak to you about the plan all along. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this